Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, a single verse, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These other words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the seed of the woman, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. We hold different people to different standards. It's a fact of life. We expect more of certain people than others. We ask, we expect religious leaders who are to be of the book to live according to the book. And when religious leaders are caught in public sins, we shake our heads and say, should have known better. We expect that a chemist knows to be careful around certain elements. We expect that a mechanic knows to change the oil in his own car. We expect that the doctor knows to wash his hands to prevent spreading disease. The list could go on. Maybe that's why the doubts of Zacharias and the faith of the shepherds seem such a stark contrast. Zacharias was a priest of the living God. He was involved in the worship of the Lord. He certainly knew both his law and his promises. And yet when God sent an angel to him with a promise of a son, he didn't believe. Should have known better, right? The shepherds, on the other hand, were common folk. They were not religious leaders. They were simple people. And yet when God sent an angel to them with the news that Christ had been born, they believed. They received God's promise with joyful hearts as true. While Zacharias' doubts were evident in his reply, the shepherds' faith was also evident in both their words and their actions. When the angels left them and returned to heaven, they said to each other, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They didn't express doubts about what they had been told. They didn't hesitate at the promise of God. They didn't say, "I don't know about this. Let's go see if it's for real or not." They spoke with certainty about what they had been told, that they believed it had come to pass just as they had been told. And then they didn't put the matter off. It was urgent. They didn't say, "Well, we have a few more things to do out here in the fields, and when we finish that, maybe we'll go into town and check it out." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then they didn't dismiss what they heard and saw. After they saw the child and his mother, they were not silent. Instead, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they didn't just tell them what they saw, but what had been told them by the angel concerning this child. They passed it on. And not just to one or two people. They circulated the report widely. They told everyone that they could. And it had an effect. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. We would say it like this: what the shepherds had to say caused quite a stir. It caused those who heard it to marvel, to be amazed at what was reported to them. And yet the words also indicate that there was little lasting effect. The words indicate that the people, yes, were amazed and doubtless talked about what the shepherds had reported, but then they moved on with their lives. Isn't that what happens when something amazing happens? People talk about it for a few weeks, and then gradually the matter is forgotten. It passes from our minds and our thinking. The excitement of the moment is replaced by the mundane tasks of daily life. And what was once reported in excited tones is forgotten and replaced with silence. The silence of Zechariah was a forced silence born of his refusal to believe God's promise. This morning we meditate upon the silence of the Virgin Mary. Mary's silence was not a forced silence, but the silence, the thoughtful silence, of meditation. It's a lesson meant to lead us to meditate, to think carefully upon the words and the promises of our God. May God the Holy Spirit bless our consideration of this word and lead us to take it in and to take time to meditate and carefully consider the promises of our God. Amen. Was Mary a quiet girl? Like Zacharias and Elizabeth, I guess I've always pictured Mary as a quiet, meek, unassuming, God-fearing girl. But we don't know if that's the case, because the Holy Spirit has not seen fit to give us a full-color picture of the Virgin Mary. In fact, the Gospel writers tell us very little about her. Even though she was the one chosen by God to carry to term and give birth to the Savior of humankind, there are only a few words in the Scriptures recorded about her. But we haven't been slighted. The Spirit of God tells us what we need to know about Mary. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Bible tells us very little about this girl. After all, the message of salvation doesn't really concern her, but her Son and our Savior Jesus. The gospel, the good news that is the power of God to salvation, is all about Jesus. Lest we make more of Mary than we ought to, the Spirit of God gives us very little information about her. We do know that Mary believed the amazing promise, the unbelievable promise that was given to her. The same angel that was sent to Zechariah with news of an unexpected son was sent to Mary with news of an even more unexpected son. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Even though Mary asked how that could be possible, unlike Zechariah, she did not doubt God's promise. After the angel answered her question as to how this was possible, she said in faith, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." So was Mary silent when the Savior was born? If you look in the Scriptures, you'll notice that not one word of Mary is recorded in the account of the Savior's birth. Perhaps that's why Phillips Brooks wrote in the familiar hymn, how silently, the wondrous gift is given." Did Mary cry out in pain? We don't know. We don't know if Mary said a word to the shepherds. In fact, what we are told leads us to believe that Mary was silent. The Spirit of God reveals none of her words, but only what was going through her mind. We're told simply, as only the Spirit of God can tell us, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Unlike Zacharias, Mary's silence was not born of doubt, but was born of meditation. What Mary did with God's promise and the things that happened is of importance to us because we are to do the same things with those promises. Simply related to us that Mary did two things. She kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things. She didn't forget them. How could she? This doesn't merely mean that she didn't want to forget the birth of her first child. The word means to protect, to keep watch over, to guard or to treasure. And this wasn't just a one-time thing. Mary didn't just do that this night. But she continued to. She, like David said in the Psalms, hid these things in her heart. She considered them like a jewel to be looked at from every angle. But it wasn't just that she wanted to remember them. She also wanted to understand them. And so she meditated upon every word. She pondered them in her heart. She kept on thinking about what the angels had said to the shepherds and was reported to her. She literally threw it around in her mind. It was an ongoing thing. Many people are struck by the story of the Savior's birth. We can understand why people are emotionally affected by the story of Jesus' birth because we can't help but feel for a child born under such humble circumstances, laid in a feed box of an animal. But real lasting benefit can come from meditating upon the great facts of Jesus' birth. Why Christ had to be true God and true man at the same time. Why Christ was born and what he came to do from the beginning. Mary took the time to carefully think about what the angels had said. She wanted to fully understand what it meant to her and for her. And she had the right idea. There's no doubt that her faith was blessed by thinking on what the angels had said to the shepherds. Do we take the time to study and then to meditate upon God's word? I'm not just talking about now or in some other service or perhaps in Bible class. This is too important for us to merely give an hour a week. Oh, but we're busy, right? Too busy. Honestly, what activity trumps God's word? I speak to myself first when I say, shame on me. Shame on us for not taking our faith and nurturing it, and its nurturing more seriously. True faith is the lifeline that connects us to Jesus Christ. It is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. There is nothing more important than fortifying our lifeline to Christ. Do we take it seriously? A rock climber or a parachutist, unless he has a death wish, carefully checks and rechecks his equipment before climbing on the rocks, before jumping out of the airplane, lest it fail and he fall to his death. How often do we fortify our faith, building it up by meditating upon the words and promises of our God? That's how faith's grip is made stronger, by the words and promises of God. Mary's silence, the silence of meditation, is a great example for us. Mary remembered the word of God brought by the angels, and she thought again and again upon it. She believed that the child to whom she gave birth was the Savior of the world, yes, but more importantly, the Savior of her own soul. We also believe in him. Praise our gracious God for sending him. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Despite the fact that we have often placed other things before Christ, things of far lesser value, relegating him to second and third and fourth in our lives, when he deserves to be first and alone in first. Still in mercy, you know what he does? He makes us the first priority. He begs us to come to him. He promises to take from us our burden of sin and give us rest. He still forgives. He still pleads for us at the throne of God. He still speaks to us in his supper. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. He is faithful where we are unfaithful. He is merciful, loving, kind. Meditate upon these things. Lord Christ, grant us an extra measure of your Spirit this Advent that we may earnestly meditate upon your word. Help us to turn over and over in our minds the message of your coming and your loving sacrifice, that we may rejoice and be filled with true and lasting Christmas joy. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.